Fantastic. Welcome this morning to one or two visitors, and I hope you've enjoyed it so far. Keep warm. We're going to talk a little bit about grace in relation to prayer. Now, that may seem not the most exciting subject, but actually it's amazing. So I hope you'll listen in. I wanted to talk a little bit about prayer by God's grace in the coming year, and to try and include people's stories and ideas and encouragements in prayer. So I'm on the lookout for prayer testimonies. So if you have some astounding story of answered prayer, have a word with me. John, do you want to just come and just share what you shared in the prayer meeting this morning? Big hand for Mr. Haruna.
Good morning, church. I'd just like to testify about the goodness of God in the way he had actually helped us and answered our prayers. Before we joined the church, my wife and I work on the ward in the hospital, and it was very difficult because moving to the community was quite difficult. You needed special skills and some kind of training and other stuff. And we didn't actually have this, but we were trying and going for several interviews, and we couldn't get this job because I remember sometime they get about 150 applications for just one position. That's how difficult it was. Then we joined New Life, and we started praying together, and sometimes Lola will have to go to work on Saturday night, finish Sunday morning. I'll have to pick her up from work and then bring her to church. And then while in church, she'll probably have to sing. And then she'll come back and she's tired and she can't enjoy the service. On the way home, she'll probably be sleeping in the car. And it was really difficult. And when I say difficult, with young children as well, it was difficult. And we have gone for several interviews, and we were unsuccessful. And in one of the Sunday morning prayers, I just had this burden on my heart, because on my way here, my wife actually was sleeping in the car because she just finished the night shift, and it was quite unsettling on the ward. And I just said to God, I said, God, please, we need this job. We need to go to the community where we can have the weekends off so that we can serve you a bit more. We just give us this opportunity. And while I was praying, I knew how difficult it was to get a community job. I knew how difficult it was. So I knew that only God could help us, not just me getting a community job, but my wife and I at the same time. So I prayed, and then a few weeks later, a post came up in the community, and Lola applied, and she got the job. And a few months later, another job came up, and I applied, and I got the job. And it wasn't, you see, it looked so easy when God intervened, but sometimes it takes a long time for this to happen. And our consistency in praying and asking him and saying, God, except you do this, we can't do this. And it's just, it reminded me of Psalm 127 and verse 1. It says, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that tries to build it. And as soon as we brought God into the situation and we were patient with him, we got the desired answers. So it shows to us that God actually does answer prayers, and we are thankful to him.
Amen. Thanks, John. Let's stand, shall we, just for a moment. Stand together, and we're just going to pray. So praying is where we're concentrating on God and speaking to him. Father, we thank you for our gathering together this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, and that you want to encourage us, Lord. Father, you know the state of each one of our hearts, Lord. You know exactly where we are and what we need. Father, we pray that you would speak to each of our hearts. We pray you would move upon our hearts, Lord, that where we are a little bit dull of hearing, where our hearts may be a bit hard, where we feel a bit dry, Father, would you send the water of your Spirit and touch our hearts, we pray. Amen. Do sit down. Great. Well, I was kind of hoping that it would be somebody's birthday today, but as they say, the 390 bus, They don't come for ages, and then they come in threes. So we had this triple blessing of the Stern's birthday. I remember, David, at this time last year, that David's household suffers a little bit of a budget requirement at this time of the year. So many birthdays to accommodate. So remember him in your prayers. This is a picture of my birthday cake, which was January this year when I turned 60. A beautiful cake made by my lovely daughter, I think with help from her husband. And you see the little cappuccino cup on top. They know me well. And I really enjoyed my birthday. And I had two cakes because I got a cake on Sunday as well. So it was fantastic. But I'm not one of those people that gets really into their birthday. I don't know if you know anybody like that. Maybe you're like that yourself. I know one or two people that, you know, the celebrations start the week before. And they go on the week afterwards. They plan it for like the whole year. They've got a spa weekend organized with their friends. And everybody knows what they want for their birthday. And so the opening of the presents is some massive event. I've never really been like that. And actually, as the years go by and the sort of years get less looking forward, to me, it becomes more of a, another year's clocked by. I want to make the most of this year. So, but some people spend a lot of money on their birthday. I wonder if you know who this guy is. Anybody like to hazard a guess? He's a sultan. There aren't many of them. The sultan of beginning with B. Yes, Sultan of Brunei. And anyone like to hazard a guess what he spent on his 50th birthday? Anybody? Closest? 100 million, no. You think big, John, don't you? But it was big. It was £32 million that he spent on his 50th birthday party. It's only a little island, but he's a very rich man, got a lot of oil. So he made a lot of his birthday. But this year, on my 60th, I got to thinking, why do we make such a big thing of our birthdays? And so, you know, as David and Joe and Eliza come up, you know, we love to celebrate, don't we? We love to applaud them. Like they've won, you know, an amazing prize. There's some incredible achievement. But actually, sorry, Stearns, but it applies to me as well. What did I do to earn my birthday? It's really a grace day, isn't it? That I contributed nothing to my birth. Maybe I absorbed some of the nutrition that came through my mother as I was in the womb. But apart from that, I didn't do much except I appeared one day. And my contribution was very minimal. Afterwards, maybe I contributed a little bit more, but my birthday, nothing. And so it's actually a grace day. And it reminds me of a verse about children. Jesus called a little child to his side and set him on his feet in the middle of them all. Believe me, he said, unless you change your whole outlook and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. That's actually a very profound verse, isn't it? Unless you change your whole outlook and become like little children. Now, we can't go into this in depth, but what is it about children that we need to take note of? Well, I suppose babies, when they're born, that they are completely dependent. They can't feed themselves. They can't clean themselves. They can't comfort themselves. They can't warm themselves. They can't clothe themselves. They can't walk. They're just kind of there. And somebody's got to look after them, as any parents know. They're completely dependent. And I think that's one aspect of that verse, is that we need to, in fact, the older we get, the more we need to realize that we are really dependent people. One favorite verse of mine is this. What do you have that you did not receive? And then it goes on and it says, if then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? What have we done to deserve this birthday party, this celebration? Do you know, everything in reality, everything that we have received. This breath that I breathe today, my heart that beats millions of times through my lifetime, every cell of my body, every talent, if you think I've got any talent that I've got or you've got, we have received. Our education, we have received. And even when we've worked hard, ultimately God is our provider. And this is such a fundamental thing about prayer. Prayer is very connected to humility. Very connected to humility. So it says here, if then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So when we are trumpeting our achievements to people and telling people how well we've done, why do we boast as if we did not receive it? Because everything we have comes from God. I think it was Solomon that said, he said, all things come from you, O Lord, and of your own we give to you. Even what we give in the offering today, we're just giving back what God has given to us. It's such a humbling thought, isn't it, that everything comes from God. That is grace. Birthday is a grace day. Somebody once described grace as being God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. I love that thought, actually. It's a beautiful thought, isn't it? It's God's riches at Christ's expense. Jesus spent so much for us. He came to this earth. He left heaven. He lived a perfect life, a suffering life, really, a life of utter obedience and self-denial and giving. And at the end of the life, he suffered the utter humiliation of dying on the cross, losing all his friends. Everyone abandoned him and suffering a terrible death that we might have the kingdom of heaven in our lives. He was separated from his Father that we might be joined to God. What a price he paid. So grace isn't free, actually. It came at a great price. Jesus paid that price. But for us, grace is free. God's riches at Christ's expense. Don Double always used to say his definition of grace was something for nothing, for those who don't deserve anything. That's all of us, actually. We don't deserve anything in salvation. The good news of Jesus, the power of the gospel is this, that we cannot earn our salvation one tiny bit. And yet there's some residue inside us that still wants to earn something from God to get his blessings. But the best thing we can do is to humble ourselves and say, God, I don't deserve anything, but I'm coming to you for everything because of what you've done at Christ's expense. I was looking at this word grace in a thing called a lexicon, which describes Bible words. And there's a guy called Vine who's written one of these books. And I love to look up some of the great words in the Bible. And this is what this word, the Greek word is charis. We get charismatic from that word. Some of you maybe know people who are called charis. But this word grace, charis, this is the sense of this in the Greek. It's that which bestows pleasure and delight. This tells us something about God, that God is a good God. Do you know God invented pleasure? And the pleasure that we enjoy, last night, Joe got out of a freezer, a cake. It was a tiramisu cake. And have you ever tasted anything so delicious as that cake? I'm sure you can imagine. But you know, God invented that ingredient. He gave me taste buds so that I could enjoy that. Do you know, the Bible says that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. Endless pleasures. David said that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And whatever pain we suffer down here, heaven, we can be sure, will be full of pleasure. Delight. It causes favorable regard. When God's grace is upon our lives, sometimes it causes us to have favor with other people in an unexpected way. It's the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds. God doesn't just do good things for us. God is good. And when we become Christians and we become at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are no longer at war with him, but we have a covenant with him, then God views us very favorably. And he has a very friendly disposition. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about prayer, that I just go into God's presence and I know, oh God, you are a good God. And you welcome me into your presence. I never doubt that anymore. I always have that sense that God is waiting for me and he is a good God. It's free. It's utterly free. And it's universal. It costs us nothing. And it's for everybody. Do you know that the good news of Jesus Christ is for every person upon this earth? I noticed on the leaflet that you get when you come in here, it says, everyone is welcome to New Life Church. It's true. Everybody is welcome to Jesus. He died for the sins of all people. And he has made a way by his own blood for us to enjoy his presence. And it engenders a feeling of gratitude. This same word is used for thanksgiving. As we came in, John said to me, he looked at me and he said, it's not difficult to be thankful when you are a recipient of God's mercy. I think that's word for word, John, isn't it? It's not difficult to be thankful when you are a recipient of God's mercy. When we know God's grace and God's mercy, it brings a feeling of great gratitude and thankfulness for life. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not of works, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. How amazing. This is at the heart of the gospel, that we are not saved by our good works. We have been saved by this wonderful kindness of God, and it's absolutely free, and it's not by works, because God doesn't want us to boast. You see what I'm saying about humility and grace? It's so important. If I could contribute something to my salvation, I'd have something to boast about, but not before God, because he has provided it absolutely free. And this draws me into prayer. I've been looking for many years for a definition of grace, and I'm always checking it and twisting it and turning it to try and get the perfect definition. And I don't think I've arrived yet, but these are three things that I believe about grace. The grace of God enables us to be everything that God has called us to be. What has God called you to be? He's called you to be a Christian. He's called you to be a Christ person. The Bible says that we are called to be conformed to the image of his Son. God the Father wants us to be like Jesus. That's a high calling, isn't it? But God has given us the grace that could be a possibility. That's what grace is about. God's grace provides everything we need. Philippians 3:19, I'm not absolutely sure what the verse is. I think it's there. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. My God will supply all your needs. Our daily needs, our temporal needs, God will supply. And he will equip us to do, number three, everything that he has called us to do. Now, thankfully, God has not called me to do what he's called you to do. You have an exclusive calling. I can't be in your workplace. I can't be in your place of study. I cannot be in your home. But you can't do what I'm doing. And I'm really excited about the opportunities that God has given me. Just recently, we wanted to get a little extra money, and I've been doing private English teaching. So prayed about it, and I thought I would apply for a job just down the road for a little language school. And in that language school, it's brought me into contact with people that I've been able to invite along to ECOS. And I've just loved doing it. And I see that as an opportunity to be Jesus to the people there. And if God gives me the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus, then I want to be able to do that. And that's for you, in your family, in your workplace. I can't do that, but God equips us to do everything that he has called us to do. If that's too complicated for you, try this one. God's grace is spelled H-E-L-P. Help. God wants to help us. In fact, the Bible says that he is our helper. He actually calls himself our helper, and he wants to help us through life. And I find that a wonderful and exciting prospect. Hebrews 4:16, let us then draw near. Because of these things that I've talked about, because of the sacrifice of Jesus, because of the covenant that he has made with you and I, because of God's kindness, because of his willingness to help us, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Do you know, there is right now, at this very moment in time, above us, there is a throne of grace. And God is sitting on that throne today. And he is so rich and so willing to give to us. He and the angels must think it is a wonder that we do not pray more. God is more willing to give than we are to receive. But we need to get in there. And this is what prayer is. It's getting near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I've mentioned before that when we get that terrible feeling of anxiety, and we've all had it, and I think I may probably more than most, that awful feeling of anxiety when you can't cope with a situation, that is the distress signal from God that is saying to you, pray. It's anxiety is God's distress signal. He wants us to come to him in prayer. To receive mercy, to find grace. It's there, but you've got to find it. It's there, but you've got to receive it. And that's what prayer is all about. I'm going to take a little break in my talk now and just ask Paul to share something of the kindness of God, which he just mentioned to me the other day.
Thanks, Nick. I've got a problem once a year. It's the same problem, recurring problem. It's a practical problem, and it's to do with the church equipment. So behind us, there's lots of equipment here, and there's loads of kids' stuff. And we also have some chairs that we use when we have a big service, and when the school take these chairs, use them for exams, and we've got no chairs, we have to have our own chairs. So every year, the vans, which just live out there, which have all this stuff in, they have to have an MOT. And the MOT for a van has to be empty. You can't have any stuff in the van. So with two vans, I can juggle this equipment between two vans. What I can't do is juggle the chairs. It's just there's nowhere to put them. And they're heavy, and there's a lot of them. So every year I'm faced with this as it comes to February time. And so this year I was thinking, God, what am I going to do, God, this year about the chairs? Where can I put them? What can I do with them? And each year something kind of crops up. God, kindly, something happens and there's a way around the problem. This year I was just thinking, what am I going to do this year? I got an email from Philippa, who works in a nursery in Camden, and it was out of the blue. She didn't know about my problem. She said, would you please consider lending us some chairs? She said, we've got a conference in our nursery, and we're inviting other nurseries to come and take part in this conference. We need some more chairs. You've got some chairs. Could we please borrow them? And the thing was, it's the exact time when I need to get rid of the chairs was the time she wants to. So her nursery offered to pay for them. I said, no, please, my pleasure. There's no need to pay for the chairs. You can have the chairs. So I was able to take the chairs along, drop the chairs off, and then the vans can go and have their MOT, and the perfect time. God's kindness in just a simple thing, but it's one practical thing. God's timing is absolutely perfect. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Isn't that exciting? This should build faith in us, really, that God's kindness, he really wants to answer our prayer. I've been amazed, actually, particularly with this thing of timing recently, how, because I'm teaching private students, I've got this little job, I do stuff for the church, and fitting it all in every week, I never know what's going to happen, how it's going to work out, but it is astonishing. And even those times when I thought, oh God, I'm really tired today. I don't think I can do all the things in my timetable. table. I really don't want to do them. Somebody rings or emails me and says, look, I'm really sorry. I'm going to have to back out of my lesson. And it's just been amazing. Okay, just want to just give you just a few things that I pray through pretty much every day. Some days I don't, but most days I do, that I found very helpful. I find in prayer that God is always giving me different schemes. At times I've been learning to pray using the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I've had to use the picture of the tabernacle in the wilderness. But because I'm a person who kind of needs variety, God knows that, and he's always giving me new ways of doing it. So the prayer doesn't become boring. And I would suggest that you pray and say, God, could you teach me how to pray? And what I felt was that he showed me the areas of grace that I needed to pray about every day. And so I just knocked through this list. If I've only got 10 minutes, I'll get out that list and I'll make sure that every area of my life is covered. And these are those five things. The first thing is to pray. Grace to pray. The second thing is grace to know God and to experience him. The third thing is to be like him. The fourth thing is that I prayed that I would be able to serve him in my calling. And fifthly, that he would meet all my needs. And actually, I think that covers everything. When I talk about serving him, that's where I fit in praying for other people as well. So it's not totally selfish. And I realized that with these five things, because I'm a very visual person, God just gave me this little thing, that grace, G-R-A-C-E, on one hand, and then on the other hand, I have these five things that I just go through. And as I look at my hands in the morning, it reminds me that there are five things to pray through, and I'm just going to quickly go through them. So the first thing is grace to pray. I love the Bible's honesty. Prayer is difficult. Anybody here find it difficult? There are seasons where maybe it seems a little bit easier and we just can't wait to get up in the morning and pray. I've had seasons like that. But normally, it's not always that easy, to be honest. And in Romans 8:26, it says this, in the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us. Help, you see, weak as we are, for we do not know how we ought to pray. We don't know how to pray. Anybody here not really know how to pray? I think we are all experience that. We all have our L plates on. But the Spirit wants to help us in our weakness. And what a wonderful prospect. You wake up in the morning and you say, Holy Spirit, could you teach me how to pray today? Could you give me grace, Heavenly Father, to pray today? The disciples said this. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. We can do that. Let's ask him to teach us to pray. In Zechariah 12, verse 10, it talks about a time, it's a future time, which actually I believe will come upon the earth when this prophecy is fulfilled. But it's talking about a time when God sends a spirit of prayer upon Israel. And it talks about a spirit of grace and supplication. Or as the Message translates it, next I'll deal with the family of David and those who live in Jerusalem. I'll pour out a spirit of grace and prayer over them. I've prayed this morning and I'm going to pray again today that God would do that for us as a church. That he would pour out a spirit of grace. That he would equip us and enable us to pray. Number two, to know God. It says in John's Gospel, this is eternal life. And this is Jesus speaking. That they know you, the only true God. This is life, that we may know him. And I'll be honest with you, that this to me is the greatest thing on earth, is to know God. And to know, and that knowledge of him, that internal knowledge of him, is life. Jesus is the bread of life. He said, if anyone eats of me, he will live, in fact, forever. But it's feeding on Jesus, isn't it? That knowledge of God, a daily experience of God. But Jesus said this too. He said, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So actually, we can't even know God by ourselves. It takes God to reveal himself. So I say, Father, could you reveal yourself to me today? I want to know more of your love. I want to know more of your power. I want to know more of your justice. I want to know more of your fear. I really want to know more of you today, because I feed and we feed on that personal knowledge of God. Thirdly, to be like him. I wanted to pray for Jo, my wife, and I felt that God was leading me to pray more for Jo, and to pray for her every day. And he gave me a verse that I've been able to pray over her and for her and pray this through with her every day. And of course, once I started praying it for her, I thought, hey, I need to pray this for myself. And so it's become a dual thing. I pray these things for myself and I pray them for Jo. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. You see, we can't make ourselves more holy. We can't sanctify ourselves. We need grace to change. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept complete or blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God wants to sanctify us. God wants to change us. The God of peace himself has promised to do that. So let's ask him for grace to change. Galatians 5:22, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. We can't do these things by ourselves. We don't have this joy, this peace, this love, this gentleness, this kindness. Patience? No. Self-control? Definitely not. Unless you're different to me. God, give me grace today. Pour into my life that love of God, that sacrificial love of God. Give me joy today that I may be strong. Give me peace of mind so I don't go crazy. Give me patience with the people that annoy me. Make me meek and gentle because it's not in my nature. And please give me some self-control. It's at the end of the list, that one, isn't it? Matthew 6:13, it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We are incapable of not sinning by ourselves. Oscar Wilde says this, always has something to say, didn't he? I can resist anything except temptation. Jesus said something too. He said, pray so that you may not enter temptation. He said that to them at the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, pray. And they fell asleep. He said, couldn't you pray for 1 hour? And they just kept on falling asleep. And what did they do when it came to Calvary? They fell into temptation. If we do not pray and receive grace to live like Jesus, then we will also fall into temptation. We need grace to serve him. I don't know what you're called to, but I know it's wonderful, and I know it's unique, and I know that God has called you to something, some special thing that you are specially equipped to do. Maybe you don't like doing that thing very much. If you notice that people in the Bible didn't want to do what God wanted them to do, we had one last week, didn't we, with Jonah, Jeremiah, no, Isaiah, no, Lord, here am I, send him. At least that's how he started, didn't he? But yet God has got a calling for our lives. And when we realize he's equipped us, he will equip us to do it. It says this, may the God of peace equip you with everything good to do his will. We're not supposed to do this thing by ourselves. God wants to equip us to do his will. Stephen, it says, Acts 4:33, was full of grace and power. Full of grace and power, full of those riches that were bought by Jesus, full of that free equipping of the Holy Spirit. He had an amazing thing to do that day, and that was to die with his face still shining. And God gave him grace and gave him power, great power, and he was doing great signs and wonders. we are to pray, your kingdom come. I have a continuing challenge in my prayer life, and that is for it not to be completely selfish. It's important to pray for ourselves, very important, but God wants to lead us out to pray for others as well. Paul said this, I know that this will turn out for you, for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of God's Spirit. Through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. We can sit in our bedrooms. We can sit in our sitting rooms. We can walk around the streets praying and changing people's lives. Because it isn't just what we do and what we say, but through prayer we can change others. Finally, God wants to meet our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I hope I've not gone through this too quickly for you, but I really wanted to just kind of put in your minds those five things that we can pray for. God wants to give to us much more than we realize. I want to finish this morning just by telling you a story of God's grace. Some of you will know this story. It's by about a guy called Tony Campolo, who's a controversial preacher, and can't say that everything that comes out of his mouth I would agree with, but he's a lovely man. And it's good to have people to challenge the way that we think. And this story, if he lived the whole of his life for this one story, it would have been worth it because it's a great blessing. And the story is, he was going to Honolulu. Wouldn't you love to preach in Honolulu in Hawaii? And he got there very early in the morning. I think he was from the other side of America, so he was a bit jet-lagged. And he couldn't sleep. So about 2:30 in the morning, he decided he'd go into the town and try and find something to eat. And this is the story. Up a side street, I found a little place that was still open. I went in, took a seat on one of the stools at the counter and waited to be served. By the way, I'm not going to try and pretend what I suspect is a New Jersey accent. I don't know where he comes from, but it's a great accent. And if you want to, actually, you can listen to this online. Up a side street, I found a little place that was still open. I went in, took a seat on one of the stools at the counter and waited to be served. This was one of those sleazy places that deserves the name Greasy Spoon. I did not even touch the menu. I was afraid that if I opened the thing, something gruesome would crawl out. But it was the only place I could find. The fat guy behind the counter. I'm glad that I'm reading. This is his story, you see. I wouldn't call people fat guys. But this is in his book. The fat guy behind the counter came over and asked me, "What do you want?" I said I wanted a cup of coffee and a donut. He poured a cup of coffee, wiped his grimy hand on his smudged apron, and then he grabbed a donut off the shelf behind him. I'm a realist. I know that in the back room of that restaurant, donuts are probably dropped on the floor and kicked around. But when everything is out front and where I could see it, I really would have appreciated it if he had used a pair of tongs and placed the donut on some wax paper. As I sat there munching on my donut and sipping my coffee at 3:30 in the morning, the door of the diner suddenly swung open, and to my discomfort, in marched 8 or 9 provocative and boisterous prostitutes. It was a small place, and they sat on either side of me. Their talk was loud and crude. I felt completely out of place and was just about to make my getaway when I overheard the woman beside me saying, "Tomorrow's my birthday. I'm going to be 39. Her friend responded in a nasty tone, "So what do you want from me, a birthday party? What do you want? You want me to go and get you a cake and sing happy birthday?" "Come on," said the woman sitting next to me. Why do you have to be so mean? I was just telling you, that's all. Why do you have to put me down? I was just telling you it was my birthday. I don't want anything from you. I mean, why should you give me a birthday party? I've never had a birthday party in my whole life. Why should I have one now? When I heard this, I made a decision. I sat and waited until the women had left. Then I called over the fat guy behind the counter. I love this. And I asked him, Do they come in here every night? Yeah, he answered. The one right next to me, does she come here every night? Yeah, he said, that's Agnes. Yeah, she comes in here every night. Why do you want to know? Because I heard her say that tomorrow is her birthday. And he answered with measured delight. That's great. I like it. That's a great deal. Calling to his wife, who did the... he said, sorry, I've jumped ahead. Because I heard her say tomorrow's her birthday, I told him, what do you say you and I do something about that? What do you think about us throwing a birthday party for her right here tomorrow night? A cute smile slowly crossed his chubby cheeks. And he answered with measured delight, that's great. I like it. That's a great idea. Calling to his wife, who did the cooking in the back room, he shouted, hey, come out of here. This guy's got a great idea. Tomorrow's Agnes's birthday. This guy wants us to go in with him and throw a birthday party for her right here tomorrow night. His wife came out of the back room all bright and smiley. She said, that's wonderful. You know, Agnes is one of those people who is really nice and kind, and nobody does anything nice and kind for her. Look, I told them, if it's okay with you, I'll get back here tomorrow about 2:30 and decorate the place. I'll even get birthday cake. No way, said Harry. That was his name. The birthday cake's my thing. I'll make the cake. At 2:30 the next morning, I was back at the diner. I'd picked out some crepe paper decorations at the store and had made a sign out of big pieces of cardboard that read, Happy Birthday, Agnes. I decorated the diner from one end to the other. I had that diner looking good. The woman who did the cooking must have got the word out on the street because by 3:15, every prostitute in Honolulu was in that place. It was wall-to-wall prostitutes and me. At 3:30 on the dot, the door of the diner swung open and in came Agnes and her friend. I had everybody ready. After all, I was kind of the MC of the affair. And when they came in, we all screamed, Happy Birthday! Never have I seen a person so flabbergasted, so stunned, so shaken. Her mouth fell open. Her legs seemed to buckle a bit. Her friend grabbed her arm to steady her. As she was led to sit on one of the stools along the counter, we all sang Happy Birthday to her. As we came to the end of our singing with Happy Birthday, dear Agnes, Happy Birthday to you, her eyes moistened. Then when the birthday cake with all the candles on it was carried out, she lost it and just openly cried. Harry gruffly mumbled, blow out the candles, Agnes. Come on, blow out the candles. If you don't blow out the candles, I'm going to have to blow out the candles for you. And after an endless few seconds, he did. Then when the birthday cake was then he handed her a knife and told her, cut the cake, Agnes. Yo, Agnes, we all want some cake. Agnes looked down at the cake. Then, without taking her eyes off it, she slowly and softly said, look, Harry, is it all right with you? If it's okay, I kind of want to ask you, is it okay if I keep the cake a little while? I mean, is it all right if we don't eat it right away? Harry shrugged and answered, sure, it's okay. If you want to keep the cake, keep the cake. Take it home if you want to. Can I? She asked. Then, looking at me, she said, I live just down the street a couple of doors. I want to take the cake home. Okay, I'll be right back, honest. She got off the stool, picked up the cake and carried it like it was the Holy Grail, walking slowly towards the door as we all just stood there motionless. She left. When the door was closed, there was a stunned silence in the place. Not knowing what else to do, I broke the silence by saying, don't worry, it's not much longer. What do you say we pray? Looking back on it now, it seemed more than strange for a sociologist to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes in a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then it just felt like the right thing to do. I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her salvation. I prayed that her life would be changed and that God would be good to her. When I finished, Harry leaned over the counter and with a trace of hostility in his voice, he said, hey, you never told me you were a preacher. What kind of church do you belong to? In one of those moments when just the right words came, I answered, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for whores at 3:30 in the morning. Harry waited a moment and then almost sneered as he answered, no, you don't. There's no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. I'd join a church like that. Wouldn't we all? Great story, isn't it? Great story of God's kindness. Great story of God's grace. See, he had an opportunity there that none of us have. And I believe he was a praying person, and God led him to that. Let's stand, shall we? It would be nice to be a church like that, wouldn't it? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just be still for a moment. Let's just, as it were, offer our hearts to God. If you can imagine lifting up your heart to God. Lord, we lift up our hearts to you. We want you to do something in our hearts today, Lord. We thank you for grace. Thank you for the grace, Jesus, that sent you down to earth to die for us. Thank you for the grace in your heart that welcomes us. Thank you for the riches in heaven. Thank you for your attitude to us, Lord, of goodness and mercy. Father, we ask you to move in our hearts today. Thank you that you are a God. Thank you that you are kinder than Tony Campolo. Thank you that the kindest person in the world isn't a touch on you, Lord. You are so kind and merciful and yet holy and awesome. Father, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Sing Your Love Remains, One Thing Never Fails. As we just sing, let's just connect to God. Father, we pray, give us a spirit of prayer this morning, Lord. You know we find it hard to pray, Lord. We pray you'd help us in our weakness, Lord. Would you help us to pray personally, Lord? Would you help us to pray daily? Would you help us to pray, Father, during the day as the things go by? Would you help us to pray about the little things, Lord, and the big things in our lives, Lord? Would you put something in our hearts today, Lord? Would you pour out a spirit of grace and prayer upon us, Lord?
Psalm, please come to the front. It's John and Joel in the house. Okay, let's pray. Can you please pray for us?
Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time together that we have just to pray and just to worship to you, Lord, as a church together, and just to show you how much we love you and just to bask in your glory, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, that you love us so much, Jesus. That today is a day we can celebrate your goodness and your love for us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we listen to this psalm, Lord Jesus, that you engage our hearts, Lord Jesus, Lord, that you put us on a new level, Jesus, Lord, with you. That this worship, the talk, whatever will happen today, Lord Jesus, Lord, it will be about you and us, Jesus, and you and us alone. It won't be about who's around us. It will be about you and us alone. Amen.
Amen. Oh, Lord. Our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is higher than the heavens. You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all oppose you.
When I look at the night sky and see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you set in place, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, human beings that you should care for them?
Yet you made them only a little lower than God and crown them with glory and honor.
You gave them charge of everything you made, putting all things under their authority, the flocks and the herds and all the wild animals.
The birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, and everything that swims the ocean currents. O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth.
Thank you. You can take your seats. So for me this morning, I really felt encouraged that God has given us so much today. Not just the earth and the creatures in it, but he's given us life and love and each other and so much more. And God's majestic name fills the earth. I was reading majestic, it means very beautiful. And So today, let's rejoice and give praise to our God this morning. Let's lift him above ourselves and our situations. Let's stand. Jesus. This morning we have a prayer where we want to come hungry before God. Let us be a prayer of our week, that we're hungry for God today. We're hungry for God this week.
Welcome in Jesus' name. Give them a hug. Give them a handshake. Give them a kiss. Say hi.
Get back into some warmth, huh?
Fantastic. Big welcome this morning to New Life. If you're visiting, if you're new, welcome. Welcome, welcome. There's cups of tea and coffee over at the back. If you want to grab yourself a drink. The children are going to make a move in just a moment, but would you just grab a seat in the meantime? Just grab a seat, please. Fantastic. If you're, today's your first day, big welcome to New Life. And it might be cold outside, but we've got warm hearts here at New Life. We try our best. This concrete construction of the 70s is a little bit leaky of heat, but we do our best. The trick is, if you're cold, make sure you sit next to someone that you want to cuddle up to. So if you want to move seats now, okay, it's not embarrassing. But if you want to move seats now, just find someone you want to cuddle next to, that is absolutely fine. Alternatively, if there's no one looking good to cuddle up to, there's always the heaters over here that you could kind of move towards. Fantastic. Now, every week we've been learning a verse from the Bible, and it's been brilliant, brilliant to be able to learn verses from the Bible. Michelle has been helping us with this. There you go. Wow. Spontaneous applause for the young lady. Michelle, tell us what is the verse that this month is our verse as a church?
Okay, so 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Now, I have to totally admit that I haven't got to the bottom of what these totally mean. So if anyone thinks they could say what it means, please. Yeah, Nick, could you help us?
I'm only saying this because it's a verse that I remember when I first became a Christian meant a lot to me. The version I know says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's an amazing thing, actually, isn't it? That when we become Christians, that God's spirit is joined with our spirit, that we are spiritually united. So that's what it means to me.
Thank you. Thanks. So keep going with the verses. Thank you, Nick. Because they will change your whole life.
Thank you very much, Shell. Brilliant. It's a young man's birthday. So where's Mr. Joe Stern? Where is the young man himself? Come on down, Joe. Give him a big, big round. Come on down. Woo! Now, Joseph, okay, you've got to tell us how old you are. Okay, you're not embarrassed, are you? No. Tell us how old you are.
8.
Oh, amazing. Now, how does it feel to be 8? I can't believe that. A stern loss for words. That is very remarkable. Now, not Joe, the thing about your family is that they like to keep things tidy, so they keep birthdays all together in one big bunch. So I do believe Eliza, it's her birthday too. Can we have Eliza down here too, please? Give her a big, big birthday cheer. Here she is. Woo! Now, Eliza's also, she's not lost for words. Are you, Eliza? No, tell us how old you are, please.
12.
How do you feel? Yes, she's lost for words. I don't believe it. The first time in history. Not only is it their birthdays, but it's also the big dad's birthday. Let's have David down here too. Now, the thing is, they went in for family planning in a big way this lot, and they decided they were going to save money by having all the birthdays in one little chunk. That way, you get them out of the way, you can have one party, you can share presents. It's easy. Now, David, how old are you?
103.
103. David, we think you've done very well with 3 children. We do. We admire you. You're doing a good job. I think we need to pray for some grace. We're going to sing happy birthday. Here they come. Wow, the cakes are coming. They're proliferating. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Joseph, Eliza and David. Happy birthday to you. Now, is anyone else's birthday this actual day? No. Anyone's birthday this day? No. Okay, well done. Let's play. Let's stretch out our hands and bless this family because they need all the strength they can get. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Stern family. We pray, Lord, your richest blessing. We pray you'd surround them with goodness and with mercy and kindness. Pray your grace would fill them. And particularly this birthday season, that you'd be so close to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go and grab a seat. Fantastic. Fantastic. Now we've got some, just wanted to add, before the children make a move, a couple of things wanted to advertise. Firstly, in a few Fridays' time, we've got a special worship evening called Encounter. And Vanessa's asked me to advertise this. It's going to be on Friday the 24th at Chalk Farm Baptist Church. It's a time to focus on God, to worship, to draw close to him. So we're really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great night in a couple of weekends' time. Looking forward even more, Holly's going to come and tell us about something that's especially for the ladies. Give Holly a big warm round. Come on down, Holly. Tell us what's happening.
Okay, so coming up, okay. On your leaflets, you'll see about Her Inheritance. So basically, it's women's ministry. There will be an event. So basically, just a little bit of a background as to what it is. So Her Inheritance is kind of the name for the ministry and the events. And basically, we kind of had a vision to unite all the women in the church across all different ages and backgrounds. And a couple of verses that we got, one's up there already, which is from Numbers 27. So it's about Zelophehad's, if that's how you say his name, Zelophehad's daughters. Basically, when their father died, they weren't entitled to their inheritance because they were women. But in kind of, they fought for their inheritance, and that's where the name came from, in the sense that they sort of had the right to claim their inheritance from their father. And so that's what we kind of really want to encourage women in this ministry, is to claim their inheritance and to support them and to encourage them to do that. And yeah, that's kind of like what the background is. And also we had another verse which was from Proverbs 27 as well, which basically says that as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. So it's kind of just to encourage women and to support women in kind of stepping into their inheritance, claiming their inheritance. So it'll be really exciting. The first event is on the 18th of March, so it's a Saturday. Can't quite remember what time. Is it 9:30? Yeah, from 9:30. So save the date. So yeah, it should be good. I think that's everything. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Holly. Brilliant. Just finally, I'm looking ahead. We take the Lord's Supper here, make it a special occasion, really build up to it, really prepare our hearts, really celebrate just before Easter time. So the date, it's in your information sheets here, but it's a very special Sunday, and it's the 26th of March. So a couple of months' time, but just wanted to mark that just to make sure you're not away, make sure you're here, because it's always really significant to take the bread, to take the wine, to think about Jesus' death and his resurrection together. Really, really special time. And so just a date for the diary, as it were. Thanks for being so patient this morning. If you brought children for the first time, they're heading out through the aisle. So all the children, all the babies, all the young people, head out that way, and we will show, if you've got children for the first time, we'll show you where they're going to go.